Bob, it's hard to believe that, you know, I was counting this up, and of course, this will be the 20th season for you as the voice of the Tennessee Vols. And when you got the news, you know, last night, what were some of the thoughts that passed through your mind?
Oh, you know, Johnny, we've been kind of bracing for this. You know, John's health has been steadily going down over the past several weeks, and so he's 88 years old. So you know he's not going to live forever, and so you were ready for it, and you thought you were braced for it, but then it hits, and I found myself up about 3 o'clock in the morning, just restless and couldn't get to sleep, and so it does, you know, it does affect you, and somebody that was so impactful for you. I mean, in my life, John Ward, there were three or four life-changing experiences I had with him career-wise that he was able to kind of get me set up on the right course and talk me through some things. And so I've always just really valued his friendship. I valued his guidance, and working for him and learning under him was the biggest thing in my career. And I'm just indebted to him for all the opportunities he gave me, and not only me, but all these other broadcasters that, you know, Mike Keith and down the line, he's given a lot of guys an opportunity to take advantage of. He didn't hand you anything. He made you work for it. But if you listened to him and you followed what he told you to do and you did that, then you had a pretty good chance to being successful in this business.
I mean, it's amazing that, you know, here you are entering your 20th year. So basically we're talking about 50-plus years of only two voices of the Tennessee Vols.
That's true. And then before that, you had 16 years of George Mooney. So, you know, since the early 50s, there's only been three announcers at Tennessee, and that's pretty remarkable. There are not many schools that can boast that. And the fact that the last, you know, George didn't go to UT, but he was, you know, a Tennessee guy out of Memphis. But, you know, John and I are both graduates of Tennessee. So for the past 50-some years, the guy sitting in the Vol Network seat is a Tennessee grad. That's pretty special, too.
Do you feel like that, you know, John recognized your talents and gave you these opportunities to watch you grow because he felt like one day that you could be that person that he could pass the baton to?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I was doing Lady Vol basketball back in the, you know, John and I actually, I think, did the first games that were ever broadcast. There were postseason games in 78, and John was doing the play-by-play, AW was doing the color, and I was the sports director at WIBK, which was running the games.
Right.
So I got through the pregame, halftime, and postgame, and we took vans out to UT Martin to do some games, and we drove over to Chapel Hill, and then we went to Cleveland, Mississippi, and so I was kind of in awe. You know, I'm traveling with the voice of the Vols and A.W. Davis. This is really neat. So then in 79, John was going to come back and do some games. And so for the Lady Vols, and then figured out pretty early with all his travel schedule with the men's games, this wasn't going to work. So I kind of inherited the Lady Vols from that. And so I remember in that 79 season, I was, you know, I'd been doing a bunch of games. I'd think about, heck, I'm doing college basketball. I'm pretty dang good. And so I asked him, I said, would you critique a tape of mine? And he said, well, sure, I'd be more than happy to do that. So I gave him one of my Lady Vol tapes, and he'd had it for a week or so, and I hadn't heard from him. And so we were up on the old broadcast ramp there at Stokely Athletic Center. And so I walked up to him, and I said, John, have you had a chance to listen to my tape? He said, yes, I have. And I said, well, what did you think? And he walked over to his briefcase, his orange briefcase that he always carried with him. And he opened up, got the tape out of it, handed me the tape, and he said, try advertising, and turned and walked away.
Wow.
That was it. So I thought, hey, I better get better. I must not be very good at all. And I think, though, what John recognized, at least in me, and what I tried to do, is that I worked hard, and I listened to what he said. I did what he wanted me to do, and I did it to the very best I could. My first job on the network was a film editor on the Bill Battle Show. And, you know, I've got paid, I think, $15 a game. But I want to be the best film editor in the SEC. And that's how I approached it. And then when I got a chance to spot for him, I wouldn't be the best spotter in the SEC. And I worked hard at it, and I was prepared, and I was ready to go. And what John would always tell us as he walked into the booth, you know, I don't want you fired up. I don't want you psyched up for this game. I want you prepared. Be prepared. And that's kind of the approach I took. And John would, he would allow you to make one mistake. But if you made a second mistake and it was because it was careless or you didn't put work into it, you didn't get a chance for a third one. So, and we all knew that. So he expected you to perform at a certain level because that's the level, you know, he set the bar at. He would have critiques. I mean, these were typewritten critiques. And you'd go by Monday morning after the broadcasts and you go find those critiques. And then he would have literally, he had broken down almost seemingly every play of the game and would type up a comment. And he was hardest on himself, of course. But if you were in the critique, and most of the time everybody got mentioned at least once, and he would praise you if you did something well, but he would also get on you if you did something poorly. And if you didn't read the critique, he would quiz you on it the next week. So, I mean, that's how intense he was about the broadcast, and that's why his broadcasts were so good.
You know, it's interesting because when you talk to folks that knew him not only professionally but also personally, I mean, he didn't come with an ego. And in so many ways, at times, people would probably assume that he had one because he was a little bit on the shy side. Now, professionally, if you were engaging with him in a professional situation, like for me personally, when I worked in college athletics, you know, in prepping before a game, that's one thing. But he was more a little bit on the quiet side. He didn't have to be, okay, I'm in the room, everybody's attention needs to be focused on me. He wasn't that guy.
No, he wasn't. He was not the guy in the center of the ring, you know, the loudest guy telling a joke and having to be the center of attention. And quite the opposite. He would more or less, he didn't want to be in the spotlight in a situation like that. He never craved that. To get him to do things publicly, I mean, you almost had to twist his arm and really, because he didn't want to be in the limelight. He didn't want to be in a position where he was drawing attention. So that was just kind of his makeup. And I think anybody that is in this position has some kind of ego or self-confidence, but he didn't flaunt it. I mean, he didn't beat you over the head with it. And he was very unassuming for most of the time. Now, when it came time for the broadcast, it was all business, and that's why he was so good at it.
Having a chance once again to share some stories and memories of John Ward, Bob Kessling with the Tennessee Vols joining us now. All right, other than going into advertising early in your career, what were some of the thoughts and things that maybe he shared with you at the end when he was literally passing the baton to you in the late 90s?
Well, he always said, be prepared, and it's preparation. And he always told me, he said, when you get to the point when you don't want to prepare, it's when you should not do the game. Your preparation is the key thing, and you'll over-prepare, and there'll be all kinds of stuff that you've researched that you never use, but you better have researched it because you never know if it's going to come up. And so he would have a clipboard, and he'd have, I don't know, 30 or 40 pages of notes that he had typed up with all kinds of little news and notes and tidbits about the teams, and not only the Tennessee team but the visiting team as well. And he was ready. Maybe he wouldn't use them, but he was ready in case he needed that information. So he was, and I think that was, again, you know, that was the fact he went to law school, never used his law degree, but that preparation and the detail that you have to get through law school, I think that's what he used when he came about his broadcasting. And I think that, you know, he covered every single little aspect of the broadcast to make sure it was good, and to make sure that there was excellence there. And I think also with the fact that he went through law school, I think it gave him a great command of the English language. And, you know, John wasn't one of those guys that screamed and yelled. He never over-talked a play. You know, most of the time, he always had great command of the moment. He never just started yelling and screaming so he could yell and scream. The energy level in his voice would go up as the play got exciting, but he never went over the top and he never lost control of the call. And that's why so many of the calls are just so great.
What do you think, was there one proud moment in John Ward's career or something that really stood out that he shared privately but never really maybe talked about publicly, that something stood out that he was, you know, really, really, truly proud of in his time as the voice of the Vols?
You know, I don't know. I know he really relished his relationship with Ernie Grunfeld. I mean, he loved that era with Ray Mears and that basketball team. And, you know, I think he loved basketball more than he actually loved football. He's getting all this, the accolades for football. But I really think if you had to pin him down, he would have said he loved the calling basketball games better. And, cause he knew the game, in and out of, I think he played it when he was growing up. So he felt like he was much more comfortable with basketball, but he enjoyed working with Kevin O'Neill and Don DeVoe and Ray Mears and all those coaches and traveling and all that. He was really responsible too for the boom in popularity of Tennessee basketball. That 67 season when they finally broke through and won the SEC and got to play in the NCAA tournament for the first time with the Justice and Whidbey and Borwinkle. I mean, that was a special moment in Tennessee basketball history, and John was right there with them in Starkville, Mississippi when they won that game. And that's kind of the season that really got Tennessee basketball rolling. And then at that time, the basketball network wasn't really all the way across the state. And so then John went into work on the Vol Network to make sure, you know, if you wanted to carry football, you got to carry basketball too.
Right.
And that helped the basketball network grow. And that was all John Ward's doing. He and Ray Mears and Bob Woodruff went across the state selling Tennessee basketball and Big Orange Country and all of that. That all happened in John's while John was the play-by-play voice.
Bob, go back to your very first game in 1999. Was it really tough on you, or did you have it in the back of your mind, maybe thought about it after the game, knowing that the baton had been passed and you were the new voice? I mean, what was that process like for you, especially week one of 1999?
Well, when I was walking to that first game, it was against Wyoming, I'll never forget it. I'm walking from my office in Stokely Athletic Center over to the game, and I'm going, what have I done? What do I think I'm trying to replace John Ward? Are you kidding me? I had a great job at Jefferson Pilot, and what am I doing this? But, you know, when your alma mater calls you and you get this opportunity to be on the Vol Network and be the lead in that. There haven't been many people that have sat in that chair over the years, and so it was a special opportunity. And that night, it began the 50th anniversary of the Vol Network, and we were going to honor all the announcers. We brought Lindsey Nelson's daughter back, and we had John and Bill coming to a game. We had George Mooney coming to that first game, and it's the first time he'd been back to Neyland Stadium since 1967. And so we had George on the kickoff call-in show, and he's talking about the 56 Georgia Tech game, and he's still got this big booming voice, and he's talking about the 67 Alabama game and all these games, and I'm just thinking, this is unbelievable, listening to George. So we go to a commercial break, and I said, George, would you do me the honor and sit in the booth with us, with Tim and I, as we do our first game? And he said, I'd be honored to do that. So I'll never forget, we get done with the kickoff call-in show, and it's Tim Priest and me and George Mooney as we're walking up in front of the stadium, getting ready to go to the press box and going up to do my first game. And my knees are knocking. I'm nervous. I don't know what the heck I'm getting myself into. And George put his arm around me and he said, Rookie, he said, just remember 31 years ago tonight, they said there'd never be another George Mooney. Go up there and do the best job you can.
Wow.
And
that probably helped you relax.
It did. It kind of broke the ice. And I said, you know, That's exactly it. I mean, just you've got to go up there, and you can't be somebody you're not. If it works, fine. If it doesn't, you gave it a shot. You know, there's a lot of people that maybe wouldn't have given a shot or tried for it. But I thought I was prepared. You know, the fact that I grew up under John and I mentored under him, Tennessee's my school. I mean, it was just a job I couldn't turn down, and I'm glad I didn't.
You know, I know I've asked you this question. From your standpoint and your conversations with John Ward, what did Tennessee mean to John Ward?
Everything. Everything. I mean, he loved the place. I mean, it's amazing his devotion for Tennessee, and not only the school, but the fans. he loved going out on like the Nashville picnic. He loved the kickoff call-in show when people would come up and he'd sign autographs for that whole 90 minutes and then take pictures afterwards. And he knew every county seat in the state of Tennessee, and he would quiz you on that. he would, and he would, and it'd be Paris. What county is Paris in? And you better know, but he would know that. And so when people would come up and they'd say, "Where are you from?" He'd say, "Savannah." Well, yeah, and then tell them what county they were in. And all, it was amazing. It was a great way for him to relate to these people. And while you mentioned the fact that he was kind of shy, he shied away from people. When you engaged him, he was wonderful. I mean, just genuine. And I think he really loved the Tennessee people. I never really heard him say this, but I know he took pride in the fact that he and Ray Mears and Bob Woodruff helped build Tennessee basketball to something special. And I think when he looked around Stokely Center and saw it sold out every game, and then they moved into Thompson Bowling Arena and it was sold out, I think he took a lot of pride in the fact that, he basically, because the games were on television most of the time he was doing those games back in the 60s and 70s, that he built this following for basketball. So I think if he had one thing that he was proudest of was, building up Big Orange Country and building up Tennessee basketball. Football was always going to be big in the state, but basketball is the thing that I think he really built up, and I think he took a lot of pride in that.
Bob, I know it's been a busy day for you. Thank you for taking time out and sharing some memories. And next time we have you on, obviously we'll start talking about 2018. But once again, I can't thank you enough for joining our show today.
You're welcome, Johnny. Always good to talk to you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, babe. Have a good rest of the week. Thank you.